All right, Jesse's back, so we're ready to go, right? The halls look pretty good? Huh? All right, well. Sounds good? All right, cool. Well, Father, again, ask you to speak to us. Lord, we want to hear from you. And God, if we're not hearing from you, then we're just, again, just making stuff up because it sounds good and it's a waste of everybody's time. So, Holy Spirit, please speak. And God, we're a body who believes that you speak through the body. So, Lord, as we open up this time as well, I just ask, Holy Spirit, you will speak through my family here. And Lord, we're all going to sit and just listen and be blessed. And Lord, may it all be for your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before I actually start with the sermon, I wanted to give a chance for anyone who feels led to share maybe what may have happened last week while we were going through our deliverance sessions. And specifically, I don't necessarily want to give glory to the things like we were struggling with or the, you know what I mean? Like it's not about spending 5 minutes defining a problem and then 30 seconds, but thank God I'm free. What I really want to spend is like maybe 30 seconds defining the problem and then spend a few minutes defining the solution and maybe talk about how your week went as a result of. And for some of us, you might have actually went through a great week. And for some of us, you might have went through like just felt like you were crashing through a brick wall because that's just the way it goes. For some of us, you know, when you get free of something, when you get healed of something, this is very common. The Lord actually allows that enemy to come sniffing around again for the purpose of you getting the privilege of flattening it. So the thing that used to own you is now the thing that you get the experience of just putting it under your feet where it belongs. And so it's a blessing if just in case you were revisited by something that came sniffing around and you're feeling, oh no, it's here. Well, don't surrender to that. Don't surrender to that. Right? Your hand went up. Was that you? All right, come on. For the internet people, you have to do a mic though, okay? Thanks.
I'm sure, 'cause I'm still healing.
Yes, a pun on the healing.
Yeah. Okay, so right. With my deliverance, I had about 100 problems, but Jesus wasn't one of them. I just thought of that. I thought it was pretty clever. And my husband boos me. And I love the title of your sermon here today, Clean Hands and Pure Hearts. So I think that was the lesson that I took away from it. Because, you know, the speakers last week talked about deliverance isn't a destination. Mm-hmm. It's a journey. Mm-hmm. And so I was definitely one of the people who the enemy was attacking a lot during the week. And I wanted to share a cool testimony and then just a cautionary tale, right? So how do we keep ourselves from the enemy attacking us? You lead a holy life. You do your best to have clean hands, clean feet. You repent daily. You ask for forgiveness. You ask for covering over yourself. So for me, as I was healing from surgery, I was having some side effects. And one of them was a debilitating headache. It was horrendous. And it got to the point one night where I was probably about 5 minutes away from asking Adam to bring me to the emergency room. It was by far the worst headache I had ever experienced. And then in that moment, I heard God saying, "Hello, are you going to ask me for help?" So my faith was a little weak. So I said, "Adam, I need you to put hands on my head and I need you to pray." And little did I know, somebody else in Nashua was prompted at that very same time to pray for the very thing that I needed to be healed from. And Adam laid his hands on my head. His faith had to cover mine. Mm-hmm. My headache completely went away. No emergency room visit. And it was just an attack, and God was reminding me who's in charge.
That's right.
So that's my story.
Amen. Very cool. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Who else? Don't stop. Give me vacation. You preach. All right. Come on, man.
Hello. A lot of you don't know who I am, or you might. Dan Russo. I recently started visiting here, and someone, I think it was Donna, was talking to my mom and said I was struggling a lot, and a lot of depression and things like that, and enemy really attacking me, and well, long story short, I was going to go to the deliverance ministry you have here, Inner Healing, and never made it because I had to go to I went to an ER. They admitted me to a hospital I spent about a week in the hospital trying to get my meds straightened out. I was suffering from really bad insomnia, feeling like God has forsaken me, struggling, not feeling like my old self, wanting to, I don't know, just kept looking back at my past and all the days where I used to be happy and walk with God, and I don't know, but the day before I went into the hospital, actually a friend of mine who I've been kind of witnessing to for years wanted me to talk to him. He said something's been bothering him. You know, he's been attending church and going to Bible studies with me over the years. He lives in Maine. He's a retired lawyer. He's a lot older than me. He's has very successful, but he said he just felt so unworthy of God. And this was about a week and a half ago, and day before I went in the hospital, I said, would you like me to take you through the plan of salvation? He said, yes, I would. And I'm kind of scrambling for words, like I know the way of salvation, so finally I found this booklet that I had that I give out sometimes. It says, would you like to know God as your friend? And I told him there's a prayer in the back, and he has the same booklet. And I said, it's not the prayer that saves you, it's believing, trusting in Jesus as confess your sins, Lord and Savior. And I took him through the plan, and he was trembling, and I was so like mixed emotions, like I can't believe like what I just did or helped. Not me, it wasn't me, but I told him, like, you know, it says, like, you know, afterwards be baptized, and it says baptized doesn't save you, but you want to tell somebody. He goes, oh, I think I'll tell my wife Judy. He said, yes, you should. Mm-hmm.
She's and got then, a right to know.
But then the next day I was struggling more, and I called a friend down in Florida that was a church friend. I went to his adult Sunday school, and I guess he was involved in a deliverance ministry. Not he didn't conduct them, but him and his wife are familiar with it, and I was asking about it, and he's like, oh, anyways, but I was so distraught. He says, listen to your family. Your family wants to put you in a hospital. They know you're just not sleeping, you have all kinds of things, your meds are messed up, it's been a rough time. And so I spent a hellish night in Nashua's ER unit, thinking, oh, it's awful for anybody not have any hope of Christ, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody. And so when I had to get put in this kind of like adult services unit in Hampstead, New Hampshire, I was able to witness to a lot of people. I probably shared my faith with about 8 or 9 people. Some of them were believers. I found comfort. One young man, he has really battled with schizophrenia. I hear his voices a lot. But he overheard me talking, and he said he was saved. He actually knew the Bible quite well. Feels like he was backslidden. So a few people I talked to, I gave a booklet to, and they're open to the gospel. But I got out Friday afternoon. I've been home a couple nights. Still struggling. I feel I really need, still struggling and with things. And mm-hmm. But I hope I do have that. I'm basically holding on to mustard seed of faith, of hope, to get me through. I really, because I have these strongholds, and I really want to be part of a deliverance team here.
Yeah, can we throw in a few more mustard seeds with you? And we'll pray right now.
Yes.
And yeah, thanks, man. Well, God, we just thank you for Dan. We thank you, Lord, for even in the story of feeling broken, that, Lord, you also gave him a story of sharing and a story of hope. And I'll even say, God, he's out witnessing to more people than me on my best day, probably many of us on our best day. And Lord, if that's what this man can do when he's, you know, depressed or under struggle, and think about what he can do, Father, when you completely set him free. And so, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, We just ask for you to come and fill this man with your presence. Fill him with your Holy Spirit. Fill him with the fire of God. And Lord, I just thank you that when you fill him, there is no room for the enemy to have his way in his thought life, in his physical life, in his health, God, in his emotions. Father, that you're going to just be a source of healing and restoration to this man in the name of Jesus. Right relationship in the name of Jesus. Hope in Jesus' name. And we just say, go, you depression, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And we just thank you that you have this man right where you want him, God, because you have a plan and a purpose to bring hope to people who are lost. Thank you, God.
I just want to say it's definitely not me. No. I'm not bragging. I don't boast. I didn't do anything to lead someone to Christ. I'm not boasting. I know when we get in heaven, there is no one boasting. No one can boast. I can't boast for myself.
We didn't take it away. We just wanted to.
And I just kind of, I don't know, more of just my just a testimony of sometimes when you're at the end of your rope, mm-hmm. you realize God is the only one there.
Harry,
and
right.
I thank you, and I know I still have a journey to go, and amen.
Well, we're here with you. We know you have amen. Cool. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yeah, come on.
Okay. So I was delivered on Saturday. I'll say it one more time. I was delivered on Saturday.
That's awesome.
It was really weird. I know they told everybody, oh, it's not going to be weird. Don't listen to that. It was weird.
No, that's how we get them in the door. Shh.
Yeah. No, don't fall for it. It was weird. But it's good because it being weird, for me anyway, I know that it was working because it was weird. I didn't want to do it, but Chris and Gary answered the call to come up here and tip over some sacred cows. So I got the little sheet from Marguerite that, you know, we got to circle everything. So I pretty much circled everything on it. And anybody that's known me for more than 5 minutes knows I've done some
a couple things.
Stuff wrong.
Yeah.
And you guys can laugh because you all have to. But I didn't want Chris to come up and just upset the balance. I wanted it gone, completely gone. And there's stuff that I was aware of that I know was my own undoing, and I wasn't really proud of it. And I'm sitting with Alex and Marguerite, and I promise you, fam, I felt no shame. These guys were so proud of me with everything that I put on that, and they were just ready to dive right in. I didn't feel any guilt, any condemnation. But then the stuff that came out that I didn't realize, like, you ever be like help somebody move and they're like being short with you, or you're volunteering for something and everybody's just frustrated and it's like, I don't need to be here. Mm-hmm. I had centuries of guilt that were stacked on top of me that I was carrying that I didn't need. And I was like, I don't need to be here. This isn't mine to carry. None of this is my fault. Mm-hmm. But my whole life, I felt like it has. So thanks to those guys, that trend is dead. Amen. It's no longer mine. And I just feel for freedom. I woke up the following day, and I'm not even kidding, I got on the scale because it's kind of been a running joke.
That's awesome.
Between Saturday, I mean, and I fasted prior to this, but then I got home and ate like a horse. Mm-hmm. I woke up the next day, and I'm not even kidding, I was 2.5 pounds lighter.
That's awesome.
Yep. Not huge, you know.
Right.
But yeah, don't be scared. It's weird, but just do it.
Yeah, amen.
Do it.
Amen.
Yep, really weird week. Really weird week. The week going up to it was like nothing, normal week. starting Saturday afternoon, it was. Yeah. But you know what? I know it worked because of that. You know what I mean? Because he's coming right after me. I'm like, you got nothing. I don't need to be here. Best way to block a punch is not be there.
Yep. Yeah, very good. That's awesome. Yeah.
Boy. I don't want to do this.
No. Thank you.
But my heart's like over there pounding, like God's like, all right, you have to. I don't want to. So like he said, it was weird and scary. I was actually driving here and the devil was definitely in my head, like saying, this is going to be too stressful for you. Like, it's not even good for your health to bring all that up. And when I was filling out the papers, it was like just totally scary, like what I've done and what I've been through and what's been done to me. And like he said, like there was just no shame, no sitting there with Marguerite. I felt so loved and comfortable, and there was no condemnation, which was what I was kind of fearful of. Just her knowing everything about me. And that's the thing that has kind of held me back from being really close to God, is because I know that he knows everything I've done and what's been done to me, and it's put this like barrier between us. There was one part in the deliverance, actually it was in the inner healing part, and this was not even something I wrote on the paper, which really amazed me. And it showed that the Holy Spirit was there, because I saw a vision in my head. She asked me what like my most traumatic thing was. And I looked at her and laughed, and I was like, look at that paper. It's like one big traumatic life. I don't have anything specifically. And then we just sat there and prayed, and I got this vision in my head from when I was 4. And it seemed to me so insignificant. But I saw a vision of my sister and I left home alone. And I was left alone to take care of her. She was an infant. And there was just like chaos. The phone was ringing. I was trying to feed her a bottle. I was 4 years old. And then we prayed some more about it and through it. And I kept saying to Marguerite, but this is not even close to the worst. So like, why are we, it doesn't make sense. And but God gave it to me, so we prayed through it. And then I saw a vision in my head of Jesus walking over to my sister's baby bouncer, and he picked her up, and he grabbed me, and he sat on the couch with us, and he said, be still. So he completely just kind of changed that memory for me and made me realize that he's been there all along. So that was just one piece of it. There was a lot. But yeah, it's hard to go in there and do, but you come out like a million times lighter, and I've never been able to talk to God like I do now. There's no longer that like barrier there. Everything is gone. I'm free. And then one other thing towards the end, when I was finally finished with the deliverance, when I was delivered, I like opened my eyes and I breathed in, and I was like, I didn't realize that I always felt like I couldn't breathe. I lived my life always feeling like I had like rocks in my chest. And I looked at them and I was like, I can breathe. And I heard God say in my head, it's my breath in your lungs. And then the next Sunday, that song played here, and I was in the nursery and Marguerite came running in. And so anyway, that's all I have. But
that's so cool. Thank you. Like, yeah. No. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? Oh, Stu's coming.
Bigger Felicia can talk
right.
about it than I can.
Okay.
Yeah, so this Sunday that Alex and Marguerite talked about it, I was in the nursery watching Abram. And so at the end of service, Kim came out and she was, hey, I signed us up for this inner healing thing. It's going to be so great. And I was like, oh, right, all right. And Alex came out. And right as she's telling me, and I was like, oh, so what is it all about? And he's like, oh, you know, it's, you know, getting some past hurts and some addictions that you struggle with and some just things that are on you that are kind of attacking you. And I thought, oh, what did she sign up for? What did she sign us up for? But, and you know, tonight, and I thought, I gotta do this. This is something that's been, it's been weighing on me for years, my entire life almost. But you know, I filled out the paper and I wasn't in the best of mood when I filled it out either. And I said, I'm just gonna do it. Just gonna write it down. And and that day when, that Friday when it was time to go, Kim went first and I was with the kids. And she came back and like you could see a change in her, and it's just so awesome. But and I was kind of running late, but so I was going, and I remember driving down the road and I felt weak. I had no energy, and like Alicia was saying, I felt like I was being attacked, you know. I didn't want to go, but I knew I had to, so so I went and talked to Chris, Marguerite. I mean, the inner healing, that stuff, it brings stuff out of you that you carry all the time. You know, it's just that weight, that burden is always on you. And, you know, you come into church and you think, why can't I worship to God the way that I want? You know, what's holding me back? So yeah, I mean, that brought out a lot of stuff. It was this giant weight, it's like, just lifted off me. Just talking about it with someone. And it brought up stuff I'd never even know I had. So I get back and Kim's like, isn't that great? And I said, yeah, it's great, it's good. But it was like, you know, I traded one weight for another one. And I thought, gosh. And then Kim and I started talking that night about everything. And then the next day we talked about it some more. And I mean, it brought out stuff. And I mean, I honestly, I didn't know how we were gonna come out of this like together. You know, I remember coming to church the next morning and just thinking, you know, how could I have been at this high of the roller coaster and now I'm at the very bottom? And came to church and I talked to Marguerite some more and Chris, and we set up the deliverance. And I hadn't been, that was just the inner healing. We didn't have time for the deliverance portion. I had the deliverance on a few days later. I don't know, whatever day it was, Tuesday. And I mean, I was jazzed. I was ready to do it. Like, I was just so ready to have it done and have that new burden and that weight lifted and just be free. So, I mean, we did that. And I'm telling you, I mean, we were being attacked. Like, we are being attacked and oppressed all the time. Right before we were about to start the deliverance, you know, Marguerite got a text from Kim, and it said, you know, there was the speaker, we have a Bluetooth speaker in the house, and it turned on, and it started, there was this breathing sound going through the speaker. And so we called her up that day, like right then and there, and we prayed. I mean, that was right before I was supposed to have the deliverance. And I mean, they're trying all the time to get us. We had the deliverance, and it was, as everyone else said, it's weird, but it's so good. It's so awesome. It just felt so good. I remember opening my eyes at the end, and I couldn't see. I couldn't see. My eyes were crossed. I had like double vision. I've never really experienced that, really, anything like that. And it was almost like God just gave me new eyes to see. And it took me a few minutes to get back to, you know, being able to say, I was worried. I didn't think I could drive home. And I was like, wow, one of them is going to have to drive me home, drop the car off, and they're going to have to follow and come back and get the other car. I didn't know. But eventually my vision came back. And I mean, I remember coming home that night, and it was like 3.5 hours later or something. I mean, there was a lot of stuff in there. And Marguerite and Alex, they prayed it out of me. And by the blood of Jesus, we are saved, and we are so free of all that junk and that crap that we're just carrying in our lives. The stuff that barrier that it's holding us back from just falling on our knees and just worshiping with our hands up and just saying thank you, God, thank you, and the love and just feeling that love. You know, it's I don't know how to describe it. I feel like everyone needs to go through this, but it's the decision that you all have to make on your own. If you're not willing to do it, then it's not going to happen. You have to walk through the door yourself and just choose to do that. And I mean, just going through that, I've seen changes in Kim. She's seen changes in me. You know, I'm just looking at my kids differently. God, I love them so much. it's amazing. God is so good in our lives, and He just loves us so much.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So cool, huh? That's awesome. Sometimes we're afraid to turn the lights on and share and show our weakness because, you know, it's like when you come home, long day, you flip the switch on, it's like, oh, look, the dog pooped in the center of my floor, right? And we don't want people to see that. We want, you know, we want the perfect appearance, and you can't fix if you're too busy hiding stuff. And so the only thing I'd add to what Stu said, and yes and amen to everything he said, is that don't come in expecting to hide two or three or four things and then just share the rest, okay? Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Okay? And it's not about people want to know your business. It's just if you cannot tell the truth, like we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and if there's all this half-truth stuff, you get what you put into it, and, you know, the devil's in the lies because he's the father of lies, right? So, amen. Did I leave anybody out? Yes. Yep.
I had to go to the bathroom, shut the door, lock the door so we could pray. But it was kind of hard for me to share because, like he said, you don't want people to know. But long story, life is messy. And I need God to really move on some things in my family. Got a call on the 7th after I'd gone to see my kids in Ohio, that they had found my 33-year-old nephew passed away. And then they did this big investigation, and what they found is that my soon-to-be ex-son-in-law sold him a medication that he melted down and shot in his arm, and it exploded his brain. So for me, it's not just my nephew, it's my son-in-law who I care about. And whatever, family, heritage, background, whatever, that God is so big that He'll move right in on all of it. And I'm crying out to the Lord for the salvation of my family, the true salvation. And I thank you, Marguerite, for taking the time, because even though they're not here with me, I know God can span the miles and to bring changes to my family.
Amen. Amen. We're just going to get a Kleenex box for you. Sorry. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Marguerite.
Yeah, God, just reach out and save her family, I pray. God, you love them more than she does, and you won't stop. So be faithful, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last thing I'll share before we move on was, you know, the morning that I was supposed to go, we were going to meet early before anybody got here, and we just prayed over the church. Just wanted to clear the air, if you will, and set the stage for the environment of the Holy Spirit. And then I was blessed enough to be able to go first in that process, which was really cool. If I was going to choose the slot, that's the one I would have wanted, but I didn't have any guarantee of that, right? And it was the one that nobody else wanted. So great. Works out. Thank you, everybody. And so the first thing the night before I tell, you know, there's a lot of people in my house, a lot of cars. Hey, don't park behind me because I got to be out of here early, right? I'm leaving early. And okay, right, I walk out, it's 6-something, and oh, sure enough, there's a car in the way. So now I got to go wake people up and go find keys, and people are staggering around in their underwear trying to find their keys, right? And I just want to get here. So I finally get the keys, and I run down there, and guess what? The car behind me won't start, right? So I'm just like, all right, I know what's going on here. So I get my little Nissan, and I just pull forward into the snow, and then I just hit the snow. You know, I hit that ice in my little Nissan, and it just stops, right? So I have to get out and shimmy it out of the ice, right? And I hit it harder. And that time the car, like, I think I'm tearing the undercarriage off. It feels like, right? It feels like it, but I'm going to get there. So I made it out there, and I'm like, I'm just mad at this point, right? And I turn on my CD, and I'm just, like, mad, and I'm trying to, like, all right, fine, speak to me, Lord, right? And the song was Insatiable, You Will Never Stop Until You Have It All, right? And that's our God. And I was so just blessed at that point to hear that, you know, he's like, I'm not going to stop until I have every part of you. And I'm so thankful for that, you know? Every part. And when we feel like we've arrived, we need to realize we haven't, right? There's no part of us that ever arrives. I mean, he'll be faithful to complete the work until the day of Christ. And we're not there yet, right? Amen. So I'm not going to hold you too long, but I do want to open up a couple scriptures. And yes, I am aware of what time it is, in case anybody's wondering. I'm just going to skip to the good parts. Is that okay? The rest was just fluff anyways. Psalms 24, and I'm just going to go to verse number 3. I had a whole bunch of stuff before that, but we're going to go right to the straight part of it. Psalms 24, verses 3 to 6 says, "Who may climb the mountain of the Lord?" I underline that so I'd remind myself to come back to it. "And who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands are pure," or sorry, "hearts are pure," whose hands and hearts are pure. Can I get a try and redo? Yeah, who may climb the mountain of the Lord, who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have right relationship with God their Savior. Such people may seek you and worship in your presence, O God of Jacob. And interlude means stop and think about that. And I love the way, Alicia, you kind of said it. Stu, you kind of brought it up. This idea that there's something that's stopping me from feeling like I could just worship him and be with him in honesty and purity and openness. There's like that feeling like I can come this close, but no closer. It's because we know, we have this accuser that's speaking to us and saying, remember that thing, remember that history, remember that right, that hurt, remember that decision, remember that habit, whatever, right? That oppressive, lying voice. That, I mean, he's the father of lies, right? And he's speaking to us. And David's giving us this key that it's all about having your hands and your hearts pure, not worshiping idols, and that can be in American lifestyle. It's usually not like a statue, right? We make idols out of stuff. We make idols out of money. We make idols out of the way we want to appear to others. We make, right? I mean, it's all about stuff. Food? Wow. It's a Mick idol, right? Yeah. and then never telling lies. And that's what we do best in America, right? We walk around, hey, everything's great. Wonderful. How about you? Let's talk about you. I'd rather talk about you, right? Because, right? We're living in a lie. And so then when we're trying to worship the Lord, Spirit, and Truth, and you're like, Lord, I love you. And then there's a voice, do you really? How do you know? Remember that other thing? That proved you didn't. But you say you do. But your actions, your history, your decision, your habit, your, right? And so you just feel torn. And that's what the whole purpose of this is. But, you know, I will tell you this too. There's hope. Deliverance isn't the only way to find freedom, okay? Okay? I mean, you'll know the truth will set you free. But what I would do, what I would challenge you for is if you're a quiet person who doesn't like to open up and share, it's definitely what you need. Because we do it ourselfers. We like the DIY books. We like our private, right? I'm not telling anybody my weakness. I'm going to conquer it. And then maybe I'll think about telling people, but it'll only be in the context of how I overcame. Right? It's never in the messy, pooey, snotty, this is where I'm at and I'm broken and bleh, I'm stuck. Right? We like to be like more than conquerors in people's minds. And you can have that. You can have your perception. You can have your privacy. You can enjoy the freedom of everybody thinking you're perfect. Right? You can have that. But you can't have the mountain of the Lord and the holy place at the same time. So now you're on the scales wondering, well, which is it going to be? Right? And what is this mountain of the Lord concept? Okay, this psalm was written by David. David knew that the temple was supposed to be built in Jerusalem. He was actually interested in building it, but the Lord told him no. And so when you stop and think about who can worship at the mountain of the Lord, if your mind said, that's the temple of God, right? Where people worship. Wrong, because the temple wasn't built yet. What David did instead was he built this tent, okay? This little tent, and he brought the Ark of the Covenant. He put it there. He hired a couple dudes, Jeduthun, Asaph, some other worship leaders, and said, you know what? We're just going to minister and sing and pray and lead the nation in song and prayer 24/7 before the Ark of the Covenant, which was a symbol of God's presence, and we're just going to do that. And why am I telling you this? There's no context or reason for David to do that. There's nothing in the law all the way before David's day that said, do this. This is the model, right? David was like understanding more about the New Testament system of grace and worship and intimacy with the Father than anyone prior to him had felt and understood. And so when he's like, hey, who is going to climb to the mountain, which is take a walk up to the top of Jerusalem and worship at this tent where God's presence is like real? Where people are worshiping 24/7 and praying, who's going to experience God's presence in an intimate way that nobody in history past or this generation has ever experienced God's presence? Anything like this. Oh, if you're coming, make sure you have clean hands and a pure heart. Do you hear what I'm getting? Like, if you're going to make this trip, if you're going to come, don't waste your time in his presence if you're just going to have pretenses and not live openly, honestly, and cleanly before the Lord. Whoa. Okay. Then there's the other thing, the holy place. And the reason I'm going to bring that up is the holy place was parked over in Gibeon. It was the actual tabernacle that Moses had built. Remember the story where they were in the wilderness 40 years and they picked up the tabernacle, right? All right. They parked it. Once they got into the promised land, they parked it in Gibeon. And the priests continued to minister there, traditionally speaking, over and over, just like the law of Moses had said, and the altar was there, and all the traditions were in place. The only thing that was missing was the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, that was over here in the other tent where people were like just in his presence, right? But over here was the altar, and there was forgiveness, and there was cleansing, okay? And he's like, hey, if you want to go find the cleansing, and we all know what that means, right? If you want to experience that cleansing, the only way you're going to be able to experience that is if you come with clean hands and a pure heart. Or else now it's religion and it's rhetoric and it's just going through the motions. Who wants more of that? No, okay. Of course not. So you know what God is inviting us into, and if I could replace the underlines, now this is not scripture, this is me, don't kill me, I'm not adding or taking away from scripture, but who may enter into the intimacy of an ever-living and present God, and who may stand in the place of his cleansing? Only those whose hands are hands and hearts are pure and who do not worship idols, they have no idols in their life above him, and who are not lying about it. Does that make sense? So three things that affect right relationship with the Father is impure hearts, hands, idolatries, and lies, right? If you want to wreck your relationship with him, introduce any one of those things into your life, and suddenly you find yourself hitting the wall of intimacy in his presence, right? Any one of those three, and some of us have had more than those, you know, like all of them in our life, right? Then some of us learned over the weekend that the direct outcome of these things, you know, impurity or idols or lies in our life, the outcomes of those things can be curses, right? They could be bondage, there could be soul ties, and there could be hurt. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking about voodoo curses, right? We're just talking about how we've given the enemy legal right to have a heyday because we weren't standing in the purity that protects us, right? No condemnation. We specifically prayed today that no one would feel condemnation today because we're talking about purity, or right? Because the first thing that comes is, oh, you're not pure, right? Well, no, that's why we have Jesus. He's our cleansing, right? But man, we have to enter into that purity. We have to agree with that purity. We have to receive that purity, and then we have to walk it out, right? Yeah, amen. And then the final outcome, and you know, all of you said this, the final outcome leads to brokenness, demonic activity, and the inability to connect with God's heart or his voice. And I love how you guys sort of preached my sermon. You guys were like being examples, living examples of what we were trying to talk about. Yeah. I have so much, but you know what? I'm going to skip it, and I'm just going to go to Psalms 25. So we were in 24, right? So can I flip over? And I don't think I have a slide for this, Alex. So I'm just sort of making junk up at this point. You're going to like this, though. All right, I promise you, or you get your money back. All right, Psalm 25. So we were in 24, where we talked about those with hands pure that were heart, hands and heart that were pure, worshiping idols, not telling lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing. They'll have right standing with their God and Savior. They alone may enter God's presence and worship him, right? So one chapter later, David is still speaking on topic, even though it's a separate chapter. And he said, who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them that the path that they should choose, they will live in prosperity. Their children will inherit the promised. Friendship with the Lord is reserved for those who fear him. Did you catch that? Who wants to be a friend of the Lord? Okay, I'm going to raise my hand. Me and Alex, a couple others, great. We're going to hang out later. Friendship with the Lord is reserved for those who fear him. With them, he shares the secrets of his covenant. You know, it's the opposite of feeling like you hit the wall and you can't get past yourself and you can't get out of your own way and you can't connect with his heart. You can't. It's the opposite. It's I am understanding and hearing and seating myself in the secrets of the covenant of God. What do you mean, secrets? Well, it's the glory of kings to conceal a matter. It's the glory of the Lord to share. Huh? What's that? Yeah, and it's the kings to seek it out. Thank you very much. Did I say it backwards? Thank you. You caught me. You win the prize. So, but you get the point what I'm trying to say, right? It's like God is concealing for the purpose of unconcealing. So we can discover his heart, right? When you play like hide and seek, or when you do the, you know, Easter eggs, or when you do any of that stuff with kids, right? It's you don't bury it to the point that the kids can't find it, right? You don't dig a hole so deep they can't dig it out, or you don't put it up a tree so high they can never get it. Your pleasure is in the fact that you just put it out of reach and they found it, and then they get excited about it, right? And that's the concept that we're trying to say is he's finding glory to conceal it, and then kings, that's us, that's we're kings and priests, are going to go dig that out, right? Right? Okay. All you quiet New Englanders.
You're not used to that yet?
No, I can't get used to it. There's two things I haven't gotten used to, the snow and quiet New Englanders. Huh?
The frozen chosen.
No, I love you guys. I just got to get used to the quietness. All right, there you go. I still, You know what I? You know what I? It's not about me, but you know what I think about when I'm like looking out over you guys? I like the Tin Man going, "Oil me," and then like this is yes, oil me. Okay, yeah. Okay, good. All right. Okay, last verse, and then we're good. And I do have this on the screen, and then we're moving on into prayer. But 1 John 1:7, and again, just connecting with the voice of God in our life more than ever before. We have to make, I think I told you a few weeks ago, desperate measures toward hearing and knowing him more deeply. And but if we're living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you know where you are? You know what you have fellowship with when you're not in the light? Cockroaches. Right? You turn on the light and the cockroaches, right? If we're not in the light, that's our friends right there. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin because we're in fellowship with him. We're walking in the light, right? You're going to make mistakes. We're all making mistakes, but that's where the cleansing fountain is, not from trying to hide. Okay, read Psalms 23 later. Nope, 32. I'm just dyslexia in the Bible. Read Psalms 32 later, okay? Serious. It talks about how all the anxiety David was going through as he was trying to conceal a sin from the Lord and the freedom he found when he finally just said, "But then I confessed it to you and you forgave me." It's, oh, the joys of those whose sins have been forgiven, you know? And I'm not talking about Jesus coming to my heart. I'm talking about Jesus, you're in, and now I've mucked it up with more stuff, right? I need a cleansing fountain. So those who walk in the light. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in truth. If we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. And if we claim we've not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Have you ever heard the 1 John 1:9 verse read in the context of a sinner getting saved? Right? Right? Okay, just a couple of us. It's always, that's like, right? We always lead a sinner. If you confess your sin, God will be faithful and just, right? But he's not talking to sinners in this moment. And that's okay. Use it for sinners. It works. Right? But just don't forget, this paragraph was written to Christians, all right? Look at the last verse. If we claim we have not sinned, and we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in us, that's not a sinner. Anyone who claims his word has a place in my life is a believer, a lover of God. And it's just, there's an invitation, man, and this is not about getting you to sign up for more deliverance. It's an invitation for freedom, and it's an invitation to walk in light and to fellowship with God in a way that you've never experienced before. So I'm going to leave it there, okay? Drop it like it's hot. And I think we could just spend some time in prayer and maybe some of us just need to, maybe some of us just need to be thankful because the Lord has brought us through something, okay? If that's where you're at, just be completely pure and open in your, it's not a brag session, but Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for coming and rescuing me. Thank you for setting me free from stuff that I was carrying and trying to hide and pretend like it wasn't there, right? And just, let's just be that. I mean, he deserves our worship, right? For some of us, it's, Lord, help me to walk in transparency and holiness because I'm just like, I'm tripping on myself. And that's okay. We're all there. Guess what? Even the best of us who have gone through the perfect deliverance will find ourselves potentially coming back in the future because life is still happening. Right? In the next, you know, couple years from now, you can have all kinds of stuff happen and make agreements with the enemy and you find yourself in some coping sin and just trying to get over it and lying about it to yourself, right? It's okay. There's no one all solution, right? He's going to finish a work he started. And then the last one is, and this is big, and I think this is Dan represents this right here, that I know I'm to be a champion for others. I know it. Make me a contributor in your cleansing and healing. And we just need to get stuff out of the way so that we can purely convey the love of Christ and the hope that comes with being saved. Right? Thank you, God. So I'll have the mic. I think we should just pray together out loud, and I'll pass it for all the internet people again. Just look at me, nod, but you know, just keep it simple, keep it pure and holy, and Lord, we love you. Lord, as we stand in this moment, I feel like it's a holy moment because we heard from 5-6 different people who had an encounter with you. And Lord, you know, they're just a small percent of the number of people that have been receiving that kind of healing lately. And God, that you would visit us with that you would visit us with purity, that you would visit us with deliverance, that you would visit us with truth and freedom, and God, that you would give us just a new fresh wind. Lord, I believe this is actually leading toward revival. This is the precursor to revival. People with pure hands and clean hearts, you know, people who are like John the Baptist, when he went out and he prepared the way of the Lord by just bringing people to repentance. God, we just are so grateful that you would prepare a way for us, that you would give us a path to new and fresh repentance. God, I pray that will never stop, that we would never feel like we've gone beyond that point or the need for that, because, Lord, we live by repentance. Lord, for every person who's here that knows that their life is supposed to be a champion for others, oh God, I pray that you will turn up the volume on that. Lord, let them hear and know, yes, I have a plan for you. Yes, I have a purpose. And no, it doesn't depend on your perfection, but it does depend on your willingness. God, turn that up and bring them to a place where they know, Father, that they're not going to make it to level 2 if they don't get rid of the junk of level 1. Holy Spirit, we want to thank you again. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love that you've come to make a cleansing fountain within our life through the blood of Christ, and that, Lord, we can just surrender to that and walk this thing out. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, we do pray. For some of us, we're even going to say, well, we've experienced some light, so now we're asking, Lord, that you would just turn up the light. Lord, install more light. Open windows. Open the sunroof. Do whatever you got to do. Chase out any dark corner. God, anyone who's experienced even an ounce of freedom is going to become addicted to more. Oh, we worship you. Worship you. Anybody else? Anybody else? No?
So the scripture that it's been just rumbling around my head since this morning, is that God will never ever leave you an orphan in the storm. You're not an orphan, you're not alone, you're not alone. And so the things that we walk through, when we walk through them, we need to walk through them with Jesus. We need to realize that he's our everything. And so whether the wound was from a friend or from your dad or your mom, or I don't know, but God is, he is everything. He's the friend that sticketh closer than the brother. He's our healer. He's our husband. He's our redeemer. He's our provider. He's our everything. And so as you're walking through it, when you've walked through any kind of deliverance, the enemy will try to come back in and bring a counterfeit to what you've been delivered from. I'm just going to tell you right now. And you have to stand against that because you've been delivered. You have to stand for what God did. That healing is precious and it's done. Amen. It's all done. So if you hear that voice start to come at you, you say, oh, no. No. Because that's what happens when you go through a healing, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional. He tries. And now is the time, when you've walked through that deliverance, to spend more time with the Lord, to become more transparent, to come to him with all of it, and to just lay it out, just pour out your heart to him. Find that time. This is the time to find. If you have an extra 20 minutes in a day, don't you go watch television. Don't you get on your knees, because right now is your battle. It's still the battle, right? You have the deliverance, you have the victory, but you still have to You have to cultivate that relationship now. You have to come in close. You have to tuck in real close with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and let him come in. And then now you'll start to hear his voice clearer. You'll start to feel his presence like you've never known. And it's powerful.
Amen.
It's powerful. So Lord, I just pray this morning, Father, for all of us here, for those that have gone through deliverance, for those of us that maybe still need to walk through it, I just ask you to pour out your healing power. I ask for your Holy Spirit to fall upon every one of us now and continue that healing. I ask you to pour strength. I ask you, Lord, to bring revelation to each of us, to start to let us hear your voice. What do we do now, Lord? What is the next step? What is the next step from here, Lord? And I pray that you would show everyone here what that next step is. Father, I pray that you would come alongside them, that they would feel your presence like they have never known. Holy Spirit, ask you to come and just pour out your spirit on our minds and our hearts and our spirits. Fill us to overflowing with you. And Lord, just show us the next step. We don't have to look 10 steps down the road, Lord. Just what's the next step? Because as you show us and as we grow, we'll grow closer with you, Jesus. So show us that next step and do a mighty work in everyone here. Lord, I pray you would draw us so close that you haven't left us that orphan in the storm. In the midst of the storm, Jesus, you're there. Yeah. In the midst of the storm, you are walking us through it. When we walk through the fire, we shall not be burned. When we go through, when we go through the waters, we shall not drown. We're not going to, because you're right there. You're holding our hand, and you're walking us through this time. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the deliverance. Thank you that those two men came with that ministry. And Lord, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning, Lord. I ask you to heal and use us mightily, that you would bring your spirit in this church and bring revival from this. Amen. Lord God, you don't waste anything. You don't waste one thing. The Bible says you will bring honey from the rock. You will bring sweetness from the tough times. You will bring good out of those tough times. And so, Lord, you've shown so many people here your grace and your mercy to heal and to deliver. Now, Lord, show them your power. Show them who you are. Show them how to walk with you, Lord. Yeah. Show them how to come into this place with you, that they can soar on the wings of eagles. They can soar with your spirit going before us. Yeah. And that we can use all of this for the good of the next person that's going to walk through it. For the good of the next person that's going to walk through that door. For the person that's at Walmart or Shaw's or Market Basket or that's at work. Because those people need you too. It's a time and a place, Lord. We have such an opportunity. So, Lord, use what you are showing us for your glory. Use it for the weakness and the good of another. Heal and strengthen and deliver, and then do a mighty work that we would stand up here, Lord, with testimonies of amazing, amazing healings and deliverances and people getting saved and powerful works that I know you're going to do in this place through all of us. So, Lord, do a mighty work. Draw us close. And, Lord, as we come close to you, may we never be afraid to just open up, because, Lord, you're our best friend. Teach us how to talk to you like we're sitting with our best friend, because it's who you are. You are not here to condemn. You love us. You want us healed more than we do. You want us free more than we do. So, Lord, fill us. Fill us with your spirit. And just walk that next step, Lord, and then the next step until total freedom, until total victory. And then use it, Lord, for your glory. Use it for the good of another. Be glorified in every person's life in this church. Be glorified in this place. And then use all of it, Father God, mightily for your glory.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, God. So there was something I felt like the Lord had been sharing with me personally over, you know, as we were preparing, and that was this. You know, if he answered our prayers and if he gave us an awakening or a revival or an outpouring of his spirit, and imagine all the churches are full, right? With just the unsaved or baby Christians, and just like every chair is full and people are outside trying to get in, right? And all the churches. And imagine like a bunch of people in the church are still struggling secretly with stuff, and they're broken and they're carrying past and they're not able to connect with the voice of the Lord. And they're just like we're the ones who have to raise up the babies. And don't look at me, right? I'm working too. I'm not paid. I'm equipping the body, right? But we're the people, we're it who will take those baby Christians or those sinners or whoever it is that God brings into our world and love them and grow them and make and teach them how to be intimate with the Lord and to hear his voice. And if we're like, you know, I don't really hear him either. I don't know why. That's a little better. No, I don't really know why. He doesn't really speak to me. Nah, because you're lying to yourself, right? We have to take this seriously. We got to realize this thing is so much bigger than us. And I don't mean to put it on us like, you know, pressure, because there's no pressure in Jesus. But man, we have the right or the ability to either hold back being a part of the plan of God when this revival comes, this outpouring, or we can get in with the plan, right? And I want to be one of those churches that are actually involved in, not standing onto the side saying, I wonder why it didn't come our way. Amen. Right? Right? Okay. Which is why it's happening, because we want it. They can't hear you on the internet. All the internet people, they love the Lord too. Well, but the thing is, I'll take it away when you have.
But like, right. God, but he always prepares, like he prepares the way, right? Like it doesn't just happen.
It doesn't.
God, there's a whole, you know, God prepares the way. He starts to get people ready. Mm-hmm. There's a whole preparation.
Yes.
And then when he moves, we're going to be ready.
Yes.
And we want to be ready because it's going to be powerful. Mm-hmm. When God brings revival, you don't want to be sitting over in the sidelines. You want to be like, okay, let's go. And that's what he's looking for, people to say, I'm here. Here I am. Send me. Use me. Use me, because it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to minister. It's a privilege to bring someone to Jesus. It's a privilege to pray over people. It's a privilege every Sunday just to pray over anyone. Praise God. And then watch him move, because it's not us. It's not all about us. It's all about him. Right. It's nothing to do with us. It's all about him. What is he doing? What does he want us to do? What is his next step? Where are we going with you, Jesus? What is the purpose of it all? The reason why God brought deliverance is because he's getting this place ready, because he's going to do a mighty work. And he's trying to get his people ready so we can get free, so then we can go forth and set other people free in Jesus.
Amen.
So it's right. It's
Amen.
Just a preparation time. So embrace it. It's awesome. Embrace it, because I'm telling you, as you embrace it and you come closer to him, you're going to experience God in a way you've never known. It's going to be power. Trust me, powerful.
Right? Amen.
It's powerful, right, Daryl?
Awesome. Yeah. Amen. All right. And if not, you'll be repenting at the altar with the rest of the sinners. All right, you guys, you are dismissed. Thank you, and I love you guys.